Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I can't help myself. I have to cut a promo every time Tony's in here. I'm sorry. I have to go back to the well and all the good memories. John Chuckery Show, back at it with you for about another half hour before we hand off to Hawks basketball. Pregame at 8:30 with Mike Conney. They're in Phoenix tonight. Steve Holman on the call with tip-off at 9 o'clock. It is time for all things Atlanta Falcons as we get into the Falcon flyover. So as the Falcons get ready to play the Carolina Panthers, we'll get into our audio of the day here in just a few minutes. So Ron Rivera commenting about the Atlanta Falcons, what they have. Obviously, Devontae Freeman going to be out. Brian Hill looks to be obviously the starter and will get the majority of the workload. Talking about him, Rivera said, quote, I think he's a versatile running back. It shows that he can run the ball. He's got good vision and can make the cuts. He sticks his foot in the ground and goes downhill. You're not going to arm tackle him. You've got to hit, wrap up, and drive. I think this is a guy who has the potential to be a good football player for them and do the things that they need. So then also talking about Matt Ryan as well is that he says he's a good quarterback. He's a guy that's given us trouble, given us fits. At the end of the day, the thing that you've got to do is be disciplined against him. He's going to go hard play action, and he does a good job with play action. He'll throw the ball downfield. He's got a good arm. He still makes good decisions. He's got good touch. He makes all of the throws. He's a guy that you've got to be disciplined against. Yeah, especially as Matt Ryan breaks out and starts running around out there, even if it looks like he's running in quicksand at times out there. So, listen, that's a game that the Falcons should win. Obviously Carolina's taking a little bit of a setback here over the last few weeks from the hot start that they had. And no Cam Newton, we know for sure now, with him being on IR, he will not be back this season. Some rumors now about maybe the Bears being interested in trying to get Cam Newton and potentially making a trade for him. One quick other note, too, for the Falcons. Arthur Blank today is expected to announce Thursday, actually, or announced today, that they're donating $6.8 million to the aid group CARE. The money will fund efforts to avert humanitarian crisis abroad and support a village savings program in Africa. The foundation has helped numerous charities in Atlanta and elsewhere in the United States. The CARE grant is the first large-scale international project that the Blank Foundation has given to. So Blank said in an email that the CARE grant is a quote-unquote natural extension of the foundation's work. The challenges being addressed by our family foundation, poverty, human rights, climate change, are global, that he says. So, again, I think it's going to be fascinating in this town to see, the transition about what happens with the state of the Atlanta franchises when Arthur decides to finally hang it up and potentially leave, whether that's on his own, he decides to give it up, or, whether or not he stays, until the end of his life running these franchises. But obviously, when you're talking about, Hawks with the Falcons and Atlanta United, I mean, a couple of, multiple franchises that will have to be figured out. Sort of like what happened down in New Orleans with the Benson family, right, with the Pelicans and the Saints, trying to figure all of that out. And that's not been a very smooth transition, and certainly one fought with lots of vigor between the family and the wife and everything else for it. All right, let's get to our audio of the day. Let's start with Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan as he talks about how the Panthers have a lot of guys that can rush the passer.
They're leading the league in sacks. They've been physical in the front seven. They've got a number of different guys who can do it, rush the passer. They've got linebackers who get involved as well. Very good at rushing the passer. We got to do a great job up front and stay in front of the chains on first and second down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, listen, I mean, it's an offensive line that, at times it looked really well, including last week, and at times is not performed very well. When you have a rookie starting at right tackle, you're going to go through a lot of A lot of, you know, iterations as far as the good, the bad, the ugly of having a guy out there. And at times the interior of that offensive line has not been very good considering some of the money that they invested into all of it. I mean, it's always going to be about can you protect Matt Ryan and obviously can they start to establish some consistent running game. Obviously, Austin Hooper out, a big loss for the offense. We'll see how long he is out. Jaden Graham stepping in. Here's Matt Ryan talking about his confidence in Graham to step in for Hooper.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Jaden. You know, he's done a nice job for us at different points this season. When his number's been called, he's made plays for us. He's a guy who works extremely hard. He's always well prepared. Week in and week out, he's ready to go. So I have full confidence that, you know, when he gets his chance and if those other guys can't go, he's going to do a great job for us.
Now, one thing you have to do is you have to hand it to Matt Ryan because he's going to tell you that any Joe Bag of Donuts that steps in is always well-prepared and this, that, and the other. It is kind of funny. I mean, Matt is not going to show cause for concern or whatever like that. And you can't. I get it. I understand it. But it is just funny listening to that clip and him talking about Jaden Graham as if, you know, he's this wily veteran and been with him for a while and, you know, there won't be any drop-off or anything like that. Yeah, there'll be a definite drop-off. I mean, Austin Hooper's had a very, very good year and has been that safety blanket. You know, it's going to be incumbent upon Graham, though, to step in and provide. He can't just be some warm body out there on the field. He has got to be able to provide some relief for Matt because, you know, listen, obviously they're going to really focus to take away the wide receivers and obviously with no Sanu now, in this lineup, and now you don't have Austin Hooper. You've got to have some other guys and Freeman out. You've got to have some other guys. It can't just be Ridley and Julio that you just chuck around to. Now, they'll take their shots with those guys, but you're going to need a Graham or a Brian Hill or somebody to really step up and be a complimentary piece and help take some of the pressure off the rest of the guys on offense. One guy who just has always been a wrecking crew for his whole career against the Falcons, Luke Kuechly. Here's Matt Ryan talking about going up against good old Luke.
It's more fun when they don't know what you're doing, man. It makes it a little bit easier, but it is. I mean, it's a challenge, you know, and it's a challenge you like to have. You like to go against great players and, see where you're at and see what you're capable of doing.
Is Luke Kuechly already a first ballot Hall of Famer? Let me put it this way. How many better linebackers have ever been in the last decade in the NFL than Luke Kuechly? Last 10 years, how many guys legitimately have been better linebackers than what Luke Kuechly's been? That's a pretty short list of guys you'd be talking about over the last decade with how good he's been. I think he's been Defensive Player of the Year too, right? I think the year that they went to the Super Bowl, was he the Defensive Player of the Year? I think he's got one of those. I think he might have been even like Rookie of the Year, but he'd be pretty hard to leave out of the Hall of Fame if you're talking about a guy who's been as good as there has been at his position. And he can do so many things, you know, whether it's been in pass coverage or getting after the quarterback. I'll never forget to play Luke Kuechly when Johnny Manziel thought he was going to run around the outside against Luke Kuechly in Cleveland. I'll never forget that play. Kuechly just ate him up in the backfield as he's trying to run out around him. And he ended up getting injured on the play and ended up getting knocked out for several weeks that year. Might have even missed the rest of that year for the Browns that year. And I always remember just watching that play, just thinking, did he really think he was going to run by Luke Kuechly? This ain't Vanderbilt, and this isn't, you know, this isn't Rutgers or anything like that, man. This is the NFL. All of those guys can run really, really fast. Here's Julio Jones, who's got full confidence that Brian Hill can make it, and he's earned his opportunity.
You know, it's next man up attitude around here. Be here, he'll do a great job. Level-headed, hard worker. You can just see him, even when he was on scout team and practice squad and things like that early on, he gave great looks. Every time he got the ball, he finished to the end zone. And that right there is just going to build you up to be great. It's just your work ethic alone. You know, a lot of guys have talent, but then also when you incorporate work ethic into it, people start noticing you.
Hey, Jarvis, do you have the clip back there of Julio talking about Matt Ryan and the 17 mile per hour? Did you see that stat that they had Matt Ryan on the GPS thing at 17 miles an hour? He had like the fastest run or something that day in the game. It was some weird stat or whatever like that he had the fastest GPS rating on the field that day or something like that. And Julio had a comment about that. Somebody asked him about Matt and his 17 mile per hour GPS rating that he had. I think it was that second run that he had that was the 17 mile per hour. See if we have all of that out there. But look, Brian Hill is going to have. You have that clip? Let's hear Julio, because this was funny. He talked about Matt and the GPS reading.
Y'all gonna get him a spot on the 4x1 relay?
No. He was fifth in the game. You heard me say fifth. It was four guys ahead of him, so it's only four guys on the 4x1.
Yeah, funny stuff. But yeah, he did. Supposedly, and this is where that whole GPS thing again. Matt Ryan had a 17 mile per hour GPS. Okay. Dude, on that second run, honestly, it looked like somebody took the 8mm old, like, you know, spinning reel, you know, video film, like the old NFL, you know. I mean, that's how Matt looked like he was running. God bless him. He got the first down. He had two big third down runs. But, man, oh, man, oh, man, that just, you know, that did look like it was in slow motion. Hard for me to believe that that was 17 miles an hour. But, you know, again, I guess anything is possible. So, one last clip. Let's hear from Grady Jarrett as he talks about how he knows that there's no margin for error and they've got to continue to build from what they did with the Saints.
You know, we ain't got no room for any more victories anymore. You know, we got to put up at this point where we are, and that's where we got ourselves. We definitely got a group of guys that's hungry, want to continue working, and we think our best football is still ahead of us. But it's up to us to go out there and perform, you know, on game day. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're going to do.
We'll get into more of the game tomorrow. We'll break things down for you. We've got the full four, so we'll break down all the locals in college football as well. All right. As we head to break, 404-741-0929 is the phone line. I need you to be the fifth caller, the fifth caller. Caller number five time. Be the fifth caller, 404-741-0929. I've got a pair of tickets to see the Black Crowes live at Solaris Amphitheater at Lakewood on Saturday, June 27th. You got to tell Jarvis what your favorite, let's do the favorite finishing move again. Let's do a favorite finishing move. I need your name and everything, the fifth caller. But I need your favorite finishing move in wrestling. As we have the great Tony Schiavone here, and we've been celebrating him all night long out there. Great night on the AEW again last night. Fifth caller, 404-741-0929. Your favorite finishing move. Be the fifth caller and give Jarvis that information, and I've got a pair of tickets for you to see the Black Crowes. All right, when we get back, we will get to a very quick What's Bugging Chuckery. If anybody can help me with this James Wiseman situation, you're a lot better than me because I can't figure any of it out. Get to that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Chuck Green back in the Kia Studios with you here. A few more minutes, and then we will hand off to Mike Connie for Atlanta Hawks pregame action. 9 o'clock tip-off in Phoenix. So we will have all that action for you. We'll be back tomorrow night for the full four. Do you want to congratulate Randy in Carrollton? Randy in Carrollton has got a pair of tickets to see the Black Crowes live in concert at Solaris Amphitheater in Lakewood on Saturday, June 27th. The Black Crowes and Chris and Rich Robinson, will herald their 30-year anniversary of their landmark debut album, Shake Your Moneymaker, with a world tour. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Get your tickets there. And his favorite finishing move was the Stone Cold Stunner. How could it not be? Stone Cold Stunner, man. There's just nothing like him going in. Austin must stun, as Bruce would always joke about on there. Okay, very quickly, let's get to a What's Bugging Chuckery before we get out of here.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If y'all can help me try to figure out this whole James Wiseman situation. Now, he's the Memphis basketball player. And he's now officially ineligible and going to be withheld from games after he withdrew his lawsuit against the NCAA earlier today. Now, if you're not familiar with the situation, so Penny Hardaway back in, 2017 helped his family move and paid moving costs and things like that. Trying to see here the official number. He provided $11,500 in moving expenses for Wiseman and his family to move from Nashville to Memphis in 2017. Now, it says, at the time, Hardaway was Wiseman's AAU coach and then would coach him at Memphis East High School. Hardaway, a Memphis alum, was considered a booster due to his $1 million donation he gave the school in 2008 to build a Sports Hall of Fame. Wiseman was ruled ineligible before a Shelby County judge issued a restraining order. The NCAA issued a statement saying the University of Memphis was notified that James Wiseman is likely ineligible. The university chose to play him and ultimately is responsible for ensuring its student athletes are eligible to the play. Okay. This is the most ridiculous story when you're talking about a guy helping somebody move, a guy he was coaching, and because of a donation that he made at one time in 2008, this whole thing just, this is everything that is wrong about collegiate athletics. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, as they still try to hang on to the student-athlete aspect of everything. This whole thing. Now, again, I'm sure the NCAA has, you know, it's stiffy for Memphis to start with. I mean, that's their go-to program of let's stick it to a program. Oh, Memphis has probably got something going on, you know, out there. But there are so many moving parts that it's hard to figure out everything that goes on around something like this. Okay, I don't know. I understand what the theory of the NCAA would love to be able to do, but the reality of the way things operate in life, this is just crazy. I mean, this is just crazy. This is another reason why. And again, it's the NBA's fault as to why you have one and done. Don't blame the colleges for that. It's the NBA who decided on the age limit. They're the ones who, you know, who make this. But this is why guys don't want to be in school. This is why Ben Simmons being introduced as from the University of Louisiana State is the biggest crock of all time. These guys, this is exactly why these guys don't want to go to college. It's for all these stupid rules and reasons and stuff like that. Little respect, James Wiseman just wants to go play basketball. And you can call it whatever you want, and you can call him a student athlete, that's your foolish, you know, rhetoric that you want to do of all that. These guys are amateur athletes. This is their training ground for all of it. Like that or not like that, this is the platform that they've got to use with it all. And this is why, you know, states are trying to be proactive as to how to separate all of this now, you know, with the Fair Pay for Play Act and all this stuff. I don't know. This, to me, this whole situation is crazy, and Anthony Hardaway's status, you know, within Memphis and things like that. So, you know, again, I understand what the NCAA would love to try to do. It's just that we're beyond all of that in the year of 2019. In 2019, we're past this whole kind of student-athlete and sanctimonial aspect of what collegiate athletics is supposed to be and things like that. So, like I said, if you can figure out this story and you can figure out how all of this ties together and how they come up with it, you're better than I am, and that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. So, Mike Conti in studio with us here as we get ready for Hawks basketball on there. Where do you stand right now, Mike?
Well, I mean, you're talking about Memphis and college basketball and the NCAA. And
didn't they beat SMU for the national title?
SMU and Pitt and Cotton Bowls. But there may have been something that you missed. So I guess we'll find out where we stand on things you may have missed.
Is it tea or soda or lemonade or I don't know?
I'm having a soda out there.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Now.
All right.
But just in case, you know, there were things that you may have missed.
Let me ask you real quickly before we get to Hawks.
Sure.
So you're a Philly guy.
Yeah.
Were you an ECW guy at all?
Not really, no. Okay. No. That kind of really bubbled up a little bit after I had kind of committed to the WWF
at that time. Okay.
So my allegiances weren't really
now,
up
the funny
sale,
part is, you know, like point. Now that we all know, they basically funded ECW for all those years. Like Paul Heyman was on the payroll.
Didn't know that.
So yeah. He was they were helping prop that up. I mean, you know, that's where Austin was before he came to WWF. That he went in between WCW and WWF when he came in as the ringmaster with Ted DiBiase as his manager.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did not know that.
He debuts
either.
In January of 96 as the ringmaster with the Ted DiBiase $1 million belt and Ted DiBiase as his manager mouthpiece. They didn't let Austin talk. How about that? He was still kind of Steve Williams legally, but they didn't let him talk out of all that. But he was in ECW. That's where he developed the Stone Cold Steve Austin type of character, was the shaved head and all that kind of stuff. That was when he went to ECW.
Was he a heel at that time, or was he the other
No,
thing?
He was a heel.
He was a heel.
He was a heel, not a face. Not a face. And he didn't take hugs. Mike's up next. Hawks basketball. See you tomorrow night. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.